It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Revelation, we are continuing our series on the book of Revelation. Revelation, as we've learned, is the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ, the unveiling of His coming, the unveiling of the end times, which is called the Day of the Lord. The book of Revelation, as we've learned, has much symbology, and this symbology we've learned has a literal meaning. We've also learned in the book of Revelation that the importance of interpretation, and the key to interpretation, is that Scripture interprets Scripture. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. Here the voice is speaking to John, as referenced in chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. This verse in chapter 4, verse 1, is a picture of the rapture. Chapters 4 and 5 are a picture of what's happening in heaven during the great tribulation on earth. The vantage point that we will have from heaven is post-rapture, and John is being shown in chapters 4 and chapters 5 what is happening in heaven while the tribulation is beginning on the earth. The voice says, come up hither. This is a picture of the rapture. How do we know this? Chapter 2 and chapter 3, the churches are seen on earth. Chapter 4 and beyond, the church is not mentioned during the great tribulation. The church will be raptured up before the great tribulation. The scriptures teach us this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul was concerned that there was a false letter going out teaching that the Thessalonians and others have missed the rapture, and there was great concern amongst the churches. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, the day of the Lord, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Here, Paul is giving a precursor and a timeline on the rapture. The great falling away must take place first, and we're perhaps seeing that now as multitudes are walking away from their faith and multitudes are backsliding. The great falling away, and the son of perdition must be revealed. This is the Antichrist. This is spoken of by Jesus in John 17, verse 12. Moving down to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6 through 7. And now ye know what withholdeth he, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And when you remove the light and salt of this earth, being the church, a standard for righteousness, the barometer for right and wrong, then the earth will begin to implode in unrighteousness. The Antichrist will begin to rise, and he will be revealed after the rapture. Paul explains the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the word rapido, which means rapture from the Latin, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The picture of the rapture is given eloquently in the picture of a Jewish wedding. The bridegroom goes to prepare a dwelling place, and the father prepares the wedding. The bride has no idea when the bridegroom is coming for her. When the wedding is prepared and the dwelling place is prepared, the father will send the son to get the bride. This is a picture that allows us to understand that the bride has no idea when the marriage is coming, and she must remain faithful to the end. Jesus gave this picture in John chapter 14 when he said, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also." So we are espoused as virgins unto Jesus Christ, as taught by Paul, and we are waiting for the bridegroom to come and take us to the marriage. He is preparing a dwelling place for us, a mansion for us, and soon we will hear, "Come up hither." Here in Revelation chapter 4, this picture is given to us that we may learn what's happening in heaven in chapters 4 and 5 after the rapture, as we see what's going on simultaneously on the earth during the Great Tribulation. Chapter 4, verse 1 continues to say, "And I will show ye things which must be hereafter." This word "hereafter" is used over 15 times by John in his writings in the book of John and in the book of Revelation. It's a chronological term that's used mostly by John. His writings were chronologically based. Hereafter, after this, after that, after these things, hereafter. You'll see this terminology throughout the writings of John. Therefore, John is teaching us that after the rapture, after the churches in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of Revelation, I'm going to show you the things which are going to happen. The church will be raptured up before the Great Tribulation. For the Bible says, "For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The wrath of God being the Great Tribulation, Jesus would not have his bride go through the Great Tribulation. Verse number 2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." This is speaking of a heavenly throne. Thrones indicate authority, and he's sitting on the throne, which indicates a completion of his work. Verse number 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. Once again, we see symbology being used to describe things to John and to us, but still have a literal meaning. When the scriptures describe streets of gold, the pearly gates, jasper, sardine, all these different wonderful symbolic messages in the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament, they have a literal meaning, and they are using the most beautiful elements on earth for us to get a picture of the extravagance and majesty of heaven. Our finite minds would never be able to wrap around the true illustration and meaning of heaven while we are still here on earth. Even John was giving symbolic language of the most beautiful of elements on earth to describe heaven as he penned the book of Revelation. And here the jasper stone indicates a diamond. The sardine indicates a ruby. The most expensive, the most beautiful, the clearest, and the brightest of stones. Stones that were used in the high priest breastplate. Stones that were used to symbolically show God's glory. These stones are the most beautiful of stones, as referenced in Exodus chapter 28 and Revelation chapter 21. These stones are the foundation of the stones in the New Jerusalem. These stones are referenced as diamond and ruby, and these are the most precious of all stones. The diamond was between the breastplate and the heart of the high priest. These stones coming from the garb worn by the high priest in Exodus chapter 28. The diamond and the ruby are known for their clearness and their brightness. The emerald is a green color stone which represents the earth and underscores the symbology of the rainbow, which is an indication of the covenant between God and man of peace, that God would no longer destroy the earth with a flood. We are seeing the church in heaven while the great tribulation is going on earth. The peace and serenity that the church will have in heaven while the earth is going through the great tribulation. Verse number 4, and round about the throne there were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Here the elders are represented as the church. These are not angels. The Greek word is presbyteros, which means elder in the scriptures. The white raiment speaks of their righteousness in Christ, and they have crowns of gold, which symbolizes rewards. Angels do not have crowns of gold. This number 24 is referenced to 1 Chronicles 24 and the elders here in Revelation chapter 4 are given thrones, thrones indicating authority. However, they are subject always to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 teaches that the saints shall judge the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 teaches that, know ye not that ye shall judge angels? The church will have a sense of authority in heaven as they eternally still serve God, praise Him, and worship Him. The 24 elders here represent believers in the Old Testament and the New Testament, believers in Christ. Verse number 5, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunders and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Here, the 7 spirits of God once again are referenced as the Holy Spirit, the divine perfection number being 7. representing the holiness, righteousness, purity, and absolute perfection of the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 represents the presence of God through the lightnings and thunders and voices. And this echoes Exodus chapter 19, when the Ten Commandments were given, there were also lightnings and thunderings and voices as the Ten Commandments were given on Mount Sinai. Verse number 6, 7, and 8. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Here, once again, we're seeing a picture of what's happening in heaven in chapters 4 and chapters 5, while the great tribulation is happening on the earth. Verse number 6 speaks of a sea of glass. It's symbolic with crystal. This is speaking of the peace and serenity in the midst of the great tribulation. The church has calmness and tranquility. The church is at peace in heaven during the great tribulation. These four beasts are four living creatures, symbolically given, once again, in symbolic language. They are angels that are distinguished from the other angels in Scripture. They are distinguished from the redeemed elders in chapters 4, verses 9 through 11. They are distinguished from ordinary angels in chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. They are distinguished from the seraphim in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And they are distinguished from the cherubim in Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10. They are distinguished because they have a unique role throughout eternity. And that unique role is that they were created to give God everlasting worship and everlasting praise. God is a God of such glory and such majesty that He deserves inexhaustible praise. He deserves praise and worship that's unceasing. And throughout eternity, constantly and consistently, forever and ever, these living creatures are bowing down and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Even as we speak right now, these living creatures are praising God and worshiping God, giving Him glory and saying, Holy, holy, holy. Why? Because God is a God of such inexhaustible praise. He is worthy of so much praise that these creatures were created to continuously and constantly give Him glory and give Him praise. These wings that cover these living creatures are spoken of in Isaiah chapter 6. The two wings that cover His face speak of reverence. The two wings that cover His feet speak of humility. And the two wings which He did fly speak of obedience. The symbolic language continues. The first beast was like a lion. This is symbolic of the Gospel of Matthew, which presents Jesus as king and the lion from the tribe of Judah. The Gospel of Matthew is the gospel to the Jews. The second beast was like unto a calf, which is symbolic of the Gospel of Mark, which portrays Jesus as the suffering servant, the perfect servant. The Gospel of Mark is the gospel to the Romans. The third beast had the face of a man. This is symbolic representation of the Gospel of Luke, which presents Jesus as the perfect man. The Gospel of Luke is the gospel to the Gentiles. And the fourth beast was like unto a flying eagle. This is symbolic representation of the Gospel of John, which portrays Jesus as God.
The Gospel of John presents Jesus as divine.
The Gospel of John is the gospel to the world. And as we learn this symbolic language, the context of this symbolic language is the book of Revelation, the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 9 through 11.
And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, for thy pleasure they are and were created.
This is speaking of heavenly worship, as the living creatures are consistently and constantly giving God the praise and worship. Then we, as the 24 elders, as the church, fall down simultaneously and cast our crowns before the glassy sea. This is a fulfillment of Scripture. Jesus said, Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. In other words, Jesus saying, You shall receive your crowns at the rapture. So here, once again, the rapture has taken place. We received our crowns, and now in thanksgiving, we're giving them back to him, knowing that we never earned the crowns, and we give him the glory by giving them back to him. 1 Peter chapter 5 also says, When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Once again, upon the rapture, we will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. There we will receive our crowns based on our faithfulness in the Lord while we were Christians on earth. Here it is shown that simultaneously we all will cast our crowns upon the glassy sea, giving God the glory. The Bible says, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We as the church in heaven will sit on thrones of authority. We as the church in heaven will worship God. We as the church in heaven will cast our crowns before God. We will fall prostrate before God and give him worship and praise. So here in Revelation, we see that there's no prejudice. We see that there's no big I's and no little U's. When the rapture hits and we stand before the Lord, and it is showing that simultaneously all of us at the same time will bow down and cast our crowns before the throne, knowing that we did not earn these crowns. They were gracefully given to us by the Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And that same attitude we should have here as we serve the Lord on earth. For the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Thus saith the Lord, Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise love and kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He is our praise. He is our worship. He is our strength. He is our all in all. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. All the crowns that we may receive from the Lord are because of him. And because of that, we cast them back at his feet at the glassy sea.
Jesus Christ said in the book of John, chapter 15, without me, ye can do nothing. To God be the glory, great things he has done. This is Revelation chapter 4. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his loving kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.